Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening and welcome to our first episode in March. We're in the third month of the year. Can you believe it?
I can.
You can.
Because I have a sense of time.
Oh.
You know, I'm jumping on that because we do that all the time.
We do.
But I've also seen a lot of comedians and others mock newscasters and others about, can you
like
believe
us.
It's January? Can you believe it's fall? Can you believe it's this? So I decided right when you said that.
That you're going to now mock me on this?
Well, no, I'm not going to mock you. I'm just not going to jump in on it.
You're just going to let me do it all by myself. I can't believe it's March
already.
See,
that's because you are a professional broadcaster.
Oh, there we go.
And I am not, so that's why I can believe that it's March.
Okay, well, there you go. Okay, that works.
So this is going to be our best show ever.
It will be our best show in March,
and this
for sure.
And this could be either a three-episode
yes.
mini-series or maybe a four-episode.
We've already invited our guests back for part two.
Yes.
But we're going to do part one tonight.
Do we give a little hint? Because a lot of people know him, but do they know his voice?
Oh, I don't know.
So without saying your name, where do you hang out a lot that people might know you or run into you?
Alive. From the Historical Society's basement.
That's where you hang out a lot?
But that's not where you hang out.
No.
You used to hang out here.
I used to hang out here a lot.
You're a former board member of the Clatsop County Historical Society.
Years ago, yes.
And
yes.
I didn't even know that when I invited him on. That's
He's wonderful. Been everywhere.
I know, yes.
In Astoria, Clatsop County, and around the world.
If you haven't guessed, we have Floyd Holcomb here with us tonight. Thank you so much.
So thank you for inviting me. Yeah, this is going to be fun.
This is going to be fun.
I want to know why in the history of this show, which now goes 15 years... Why we're just now having him as guest.
That's why we've already invited him back for episode two.
Probably because I thought you were going to put me on the board again. So I avoided you like
if I can get off just by being on the show for 30 minutes instead of being on the board. Although you were Desmo on Cast, Michael Desmond's final guest.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. Yes, I love Desmo. God, it was so fun. Yeah.
I was a little jealous because I tried to be.
Oh, he didn't make the cut.
Yeah,
he
didn't make the cut. Yeah.
I was the second to last.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay.
That was the Port Report, if I remember right.
It could have been.
Yeah. Gosh. How many years ago was that?
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
History.
Does that bring back heartburn?
Probably about 10 years.
No, it was fun. You know, I love Desmo. He needs to come back to the radio.
He was a funny character.
He was.
All right. So
other things that need to come back.
We got a ton of things. So, yes, great segue.
Lost Words.
Lost Words.
Slugabed.
Slugabed.
This is a noun from the 16th century.
Slugabed. I think that is... I always guess first, so that you can appear much smarter than I am.
And still be wrong, usually.
Slugabed. I think that is a very uncomfortable bed. I think it's kind of like how it sounds.
Okay. You're wrong.
First thing that came into my mind was like a bad garden.
Oh, ooh. Yes. That's true. Yeah, the slugs are coming back to my garden beds. But no, this is a person who sleeps in later... than is appropriate. A slugabed.
Oh, a slugabed.
Yes. Like my husband when my children are up at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Your children,
get up with them.
Your children are never slugabeds.
They are not. No, it's because they're children.
All right. So the history highlights, we're going to whip through these really fast because we got a lot of things we can talk about with our guests. So these are things that happened on tomorrow, March 4th. So, as always, icebreakers or bar trivia or yes. Maybe the winning answer on Jeopardy. We don't know. So, 1791, Vermont is added as the 14th state.
Welcome to the party.
Vermont. I used to live there.
Yes.
I like Vermont. All right. 1792, oranges are introduced to Hawaii.
Oh. Ooh.
I never really thought about oranges either being in Hawaii or not being in Hawaii.
How'd they get there?
I don't know. I guess somebody thought like they were pirates. I guess somebody thought maybe they would grow well there.
Right.
But you don't think of, you think of like pineapples and.
Oh, I think of citrus. There's lots of citrus. I mean, citrus does grow well there.
Well, obviously. Yeah. But yeah. They had to introduce it.
They did. Right.
Oh, and I forgot I was going to do a quiz.
Okay.
So I'm not giving you the year. You got to guess the year. The American Automobile Association, AAA, is founded in Chicago. What year?
32.
1932, and your guess?
Oh, I don't know.
You're eating airtime.
I am. 1940.
See, I would have guessed in the 20s. Prepare to be shocked. 1902.
That early. Oh,
how many cars were running around Chicago in 1902 that they could start a club?
Right.
And funny enough, I asked Sam in my office, Sam Rasko, I said, what year? And I didn't give him any background. And he said, 1898.
Ooh.
I said, what? And he goes, I just kind of remembered that it was really stupidly early.
So. And what did they offer even at that time?
Maps. I don't know. Yeah,
I mean, it would have been more useful then, right?
How far were people driving back then that they would need a map?
True.
All right. Let's see. 1829, Andrew Jackson holds his open house at the White House. And we've talked about this on the show. It goes nuts. The public comes in and there's like a huge riot inside the White House and he has to jump out the window to escape. It was all friendly, but it was like a giant.
Right. Got a little out of control.
It was like a giant frat party. All right. Let's see. 1918. The first cases reported in the deadly 1918 flu epidemic.
We've talked about this, too.
We have. And it was U.S. Army mess cook Private Albert Gitchell of Fort Riley, Kansas.
Yep.
What a way to get down in history.
Mm. I know. Awful. I mean, and then really just such terrible conditions.
I knew there was a reason why I never went to Fort Riley.
I have been to Fort Riley, but I don't see a monument to him. They should have a monument to him.
Poor guy.
But I always
for
remember,
dying first of a pandemic.
Yeah. Well, you want to remember for something. but I remember that we had a lecture for our Thursday night talks. I was going to do a lecture on the flu 1918 flu epidemic here in Clatsop County and how it affected us, and we had to cancel it because it was the beginning of COVID shutdowns.
That would have been a little challenging then.
Well, and that's what made it funny is pandemic talk canceled due to pandemic.
Only thing that made it funny.
It was funny.
2 years later.
We put a press release out. Pandemic talk canceled due to pandemic. All right. 1924. Happy Birthday to You is published.
Oh.
By Clayton Sunny.
Interesting.
I kind of like his name, Clayton Sunny.
Rights later bought by Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Marilyn Monroe.
1933, FDR is inaugurated. There's a ton of presidents inaugurated on this day, but I pulled that one out just because I love. We have nothing to fear but fear itself.
This was pretty good. Almost sounded like him.
I do a little Teddy Roosevelt, too. Yeah. Let's see. Moving along. 1945, Finland declares war on Nazi Germany.
Don't mess with Finland. Man. That's just Sisu stuff there.
But 1945, that's what makes me laugh. Like, way to figure out who's going to win this thing and then jump in at the end. All right. But that's true. Finland actually was at war for quite a while with Russia, of course.
Yes.
1974, People Magazine launches. Do we care?
Yes. I think that is hugely influential.
What year was that?
1974.
Oh. So Actress Mia Farrow from The Great Gatsby at the time was on the inaugural issue. So this is a weekly celebrity and human interest magazine spotlight. I do think it's influential because it is snapshot journalism, right? Ooh. So 1974 is prior to CNN. Mm-hmm. So we weren't quite into that, you know, news all the time. And not that this is news, but this is sort of the start of when people are just wanting a little bit of information. And they're very satisfied with that. So as a journalist, I hate that, right? Like, I want people to have a little bit of information and then the curiosity to get more information. But
so you called it snap journalism.
Snapshot.
Snapshot journalism.
Yeah.
I like that.
So people, and certainly that, you know, the new generation, right? Their younger generation now, this is what they're living in, right? So sort of People Magazine
is very tiring.
I know. Everyone sighed in the room.
I think
millennials, Mac, you and I.
I think part of it is because I just always picture it as like the waiting room of a doctor or dentist's office.
Yeah.
You pick up and read about something from 6 months ago.
Oh.
A celebrity that I probably don't care about. All right. 1994. This one's just for me. John Candy dies. I love John Candy.
Yeah, I remember that.
It makes me sad. Yeah. Planes, Trains, Automobiles, one of the best movies
ever.
It
was, yeah.
Why couldn't it have been in Oregon, at least a little bit of it, so we could claim it? All right. But our history highlight of the day, I think, had the most impact on history. 1789, government under the U.S. Constitution begins. Prior to that, we'd been under the Articles of Confederation.
Okay.
So you can take issue with our country. Certainly, we still have a long way to go, but it's still the best form of government that's out there.
There you go.
All right. So on this day, the U.S. Constitution and the first session of the U.S. Congress is held in New York City as the U.S. Constitution takes effect. However, of the 22 senators and 59 representatives called to represent the 11 states who had ratified the document by that time, only 9 senators and 13 representatives showed up.
Oh, my gosh.
They were still Oregon.
It does, doesn't it? They were still arguing about the amendments.
Oh, okay.
Because a number of the states had said, no, we're not signing off on this until we get some amendments that kind of, you know, reined in the federal government a little bit.
Oh, okay.
So they were waiting for those to be discussed and introduced. So that's why a couple of them weren't there. But anyway, the most important thing I think
happened. That's not why you picked this topic today, is it?
Right.
No.
This is actually a good segue to our guest, Floyd Holcomb, who has nothing to say about politics in general.
I try to avoid it.
You did warn him we're a non-political show, right?
That's right. Thank
I said
goodness.
It's all softball questions here. Good.
Thank you. Thank you.
But we are happy you're here tonight.
I'm happy to be here.
And
I really
you are
am.
Very involved in everything.
Well, you know, I'm trying to slow down. I really am. I'm trying to slow down.
No, you're not. You just got roped back into Boy Scouts.
Oh, geez, you're
joining Rotary.
Yeah. Well, you know, the fifth time I put my application, and I think they finally accepted it. I don't know.
They had to do a deep background check on you.
Yeah. Good luck.
So I think a lot of people that are listening have met you, and they probably know a little bit about you, but give some background. You're a hometown guy, so talk about...
Yeah,
about
born in 1964, Uniontown, Astoria, Oregon.
Love that.
You know, oldest American city west of the Rockies. You know, Captain Robert Gray Elementary, probably the number one reason why I went to 110 countries. Imagine going to school at Captain Robert Gray, and all you see are globes, pictures of guys with, you know, old guys on ships with telescopes. 6 years of that, right?
Did that actually inspire you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you couldn't go from one floor to the other floor of Captain Robert Gray without being an explorer.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that.
I had no idea. I really didn't think about that.
Captain Robert Gray. It was a total impact on my life. You know, by the time I was 17, I had to get out of here. I had to go exploring.
Right?
Yeah.
So I did not make the association with you with Uniontown just because of Pier 39. I always think he's an Uppertown guy.
I'm the only Filipino Finn from Uniontown. Yes, that's what Jake used to say. Yes, it was fun. Yeah.
And where did your family, where were they?
Well,
right
so,
there?
You know, it's funny. We just talked about this the other day at the coffee shop. But, you know, the original streets of Uniontown are Hume, Washington, and Flavelle Street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was born right behind the Helberg Drugstore, which is between Columbia and Hume, right? And then my dad bought the house on Flavelle Street. And then we lived on Hume Street, which was that big house on Hume and Commercial until I was, you know, junior high, middle school age. So when you do my security background check, it all says Alameda Avenue. So, yeah.
It's all right there. So growing up, you also had this gorgeous river.
Oh, geez.
Right there.
Yeah, yeah. You know how many times we've made rafts and right behind the Holiday Inn Express today, right, was actually Pustys. And so we would go down there and that was our playground, you know, where the memorial is and the boat ramp. That's where we grew up.
Did you make rafts and go in the water?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, of course, back then, you know, parents never watched their kids. So, you know, here we are sucker fishing off the tracks. Oh, the train's coming. And we'd jump down on the, you know, on the cross members. The train would go by and, you know, we'd put dough and go sucker fishing. It was, you know, you say stuff like this and people don't believe you, you know, but that's the way we grew up in Uniontown, you know. And the reason why, by the way, just a little note if anybody wants to know, the biggest sucker fish and carp was right there because that's where all of Uniontown's stuff went.
Ew. That's awful.
Yes. And then we'd sell them to the Japanese when they'd come in on the ships. And so, you know, we were entrepreneurs at the early age.
You are the second person to tell me that. So I'm glad that story is confirmed because Don Goodall used to tell me the biggest crawdads were right where all the sewer pipes
there you
led
go.
Out into
there
the river.
You go. Yes, that's it. You
know. And I tell that to visitors in the Flavelle House, and they just kind of cringe.
Well, you know, the water, since we've done this cleanup, you know, in Astoria, sewer water, I've never seen this water so clean. And we grew up, you know, swimming in the West Basin, you know, tasting diesel and fish guts, and, you know, but now, I mean, it's, you know, it's really clean. The river's really clean. Yeah, it is nice. Yeah.
And you stay here. You stay
Yeah, you
water.
Know, we moved back. You know, I mean, it was, you know, I can't get away from it. Matter of fact, we had this discussion the other day. It was like, if we were to move from Astoria, where would we go? And I had a hard time answering that. I still do. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
So back up a little bit, because you said 17 and I wanted to go explore the world. So how did you do that, and where all did you explore?
Well, I was, you know, it's funny, Astoria High School knew that, you know, growing up in Uniontown, troubled families, I knew if I stayed in Astoria, I was going to be a fisherman for the rest of my life. So I joined the Army, 17. I had to graduate high school early. You know, back then, and I don't know how it is today, but, you know, the folks in Astoria were like your parents. Everybody was keeping an eye on everybody, right? Especially Uniontown in those days. And so they knew that Floyd could go crazy, or Floyd could go, you know, on a good path. And so the Army was the way to go. And so I did it. 17, paratrooper, 82nd Airborne Division. Yes. 307th Engineers, and then accepted for Special Forces training before my 21st birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And so that's what... So this year, 41 years in the regiment, still training, you know, young Green Berets. So, and that's another story about Astoria.
And showing my ignorance, when you say 41 years, is that active duty and then reserve?
Active duty, reserve, National Guard, Special Forces. Okay. I mean, the country's gone through some really changes in its militaries, you know, in those years. And, I mean, we didn't even create a regiment until 1988. So, I mean... You know, the Vietnam era into Special Forces, Green Berets. You remember 100 men will test today, only three win the Green Beret days. Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah. At 21, you're going into Special Forces.
Yeah, 20.
Where are you looking at going? I mean, where?
Well, it's really, you know, I haven't told this story publicly very much, you know, my Special Forces background. But, you know, at that time I was, you know, in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And I just graduated from the Special Forces qualification course. And so I was able to work as a person inside of what was then called the Delta Force. And it was a new organization. And it was a funny story. The squadron sergeant major came up and said, Holcomb, you can stay here in Delta and go to jail with the rest of us, or you can go to that new group. And I said, Sergeant Major, what? What new group? Well, we're reactivating the 1st Special Forces group at Fort Lewis, Washington. I said, Sergeant Major, that's close to home. Well, I guess you made your decision.
Interesting.
And that was the day 1984, September, we came back home.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. By that time, I'd already been to Grenada, I'd already been to Panama, I'd already been to all these great places of the world.
So not breaking any rules or codes, and not asking what you were doing, but... Give me a location around the world that you absolutely would never want to go to again that you have been to, and one that you would love to go back to that you've been to.
Oh, that's pretty easy. I'll never go back to Haiti. You know, I was there when we put Aristide back into power. I don't have a lot of desire to go back there. But the best country in the world that I went to was Vanuatu. You remember New Hebrides? Oh. You remember Ballyhie, the movie?
Yes.
That's my favorite country in the world.
Oh.
They still eat people there on one of the islands, too.
Terrible.
Okay, I want it on the record. I did not bring cannibalism up.
Okay, you know.
I somehow bring it up a lot, and she does not like that. So well done, sir.
Yes, yes, you know. I mean, you have a quick story. So here we are. What was the name? Port Vila, yes. Going from Port Vila to the other island, you know, with our counterparts, our foreign partners, right? And so I'm... All of a sudden, this water keeps splashing on my face, and I'm trying to figure out what it is. And I look up, and here's these flying fish jumping over our boat. Yes. You know, 80, 90 degrees. The water is blue as far as you can see. And Steve Lucas, who, a great guy, he was my team sergeant at the time, he said, Holcomb, are you awake? And I said, Roger, yes, I am. What's up? He goes, you see that island over there? That's Ballyhie. Ballyhie, really? Yes. And last month... They ate somebody. What?
Let's keep this boat moving.
Just keep going. Yeah. Keep going.
Wow.
So at what point along the way did you meet Cheryl?
Oh, gosh, that's a great story. You know, Cheryl and I met, we're moving months and years here, but, you know, Astoria had a drug problem. And back in the day, Reagan said we had a war on drugs. Well, I was still in the organization, right? And so I was on a counter-drug team at that time in Astoria. And so we met in Seaside at Pig and Pancake, and guess where I met Cheryl? She was home from college, Linfield College, and she was working at Pig and Pancake. And here comes a bunch of Army guys through the door, and that's where I met Cheryl the first time.
Oh.
And then the second time we met in Portland, you know, just so it had to be fate.
So you ran into each other again.
Yeah. So, you know, 29, 30 years we've been together. Two kids.
I love it.
Yeah, I do.
She is like the sweetest person. Yeah.
It's so fun. Yeah. Yeah. And the funny thing is, the Army guys always ask me, you're still with her? You know, the Army guys have a horrible divorce rate, right? And so I think we've got the record in Special Forces. So we've been together forever. Yeah. Great.
So you've been all over the world. What brought you back to Astoria? Why did you decide that this is the place I should be and I should stay?
You know, it's funny. Astoria kept pulling me back, and we had family homes here at the time. And I said, I was in Vietnam taking Powell's books to Vietnam. I don't know if you remember that era or not. Yeah, so we were the first American company back to Vietnam. I had a lot of projects going on back then. And so I came home, and Cheryl was pregnant with Nate. I was coming into the house, and all of a sudden I heard this bam, bam. And I hadn't seen Cheryl for a while, you know, like 3 months I'd been in Asia. And here she is pregnant, and I give her a big hug. And I said, did you hear that? I just heard gunshots. Oh, you're always hearing gunshots. And I was like, no, I did. Well, unfortunately, there was a shooting there in Beaverton.
Oh, no.
And a nurse who was pregnant, it's on the Oregonian.
Oh.
Next day I told Cheryl, that's it, we're leaving. We're not going to raise kids in Portland. We're going to Astoria. And we did. We moved back home at that time.
Oh,
and
wow.
We raised our kids here in Astoria. So it's been great.
Oh, my God. That's a terrible story.
No, but I mean, you know.
I'm glad you're here, though.
That's funny. You know, yes, I mean, that was the time that we had to.
So now, where did she grow up that you met her in Seaside?
Well, you know, Cheryl, funny story on that one. The second time I met her, God, I'm telling this on the air. I don't know if I should. Cheryl, kill me now. But so we meet in.
She's not listening. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, so we meet in Portland, and she says, we're at the mailbox. She almost ran me over with her, popped her clutch in her car. Yes. And I said, where are you from? And she says, well, I'm Filipino. I said, no, I know that. But I said, where are you from? She said, I'm from Astoria. I said, no, you're not. I know everybody in Astoria. And she says, no. She goes, my aunt lives in Astoria. And I said, who's your aunt? Stella Luster. And it's Aunt Stella taught everybody how to play piano back in the day. She was Filipino. And I said, that's not your aunt. That's my aunt. Because as kids, we grew up calling elders aunts and uncles, right? But it was really her aunt. And so anyway, her parents retired from Philadelphia, and she was here going to Linfield.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's how, again, so that was fate, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So.
Well, I asked that because I was curious, like, when you say, hey, we're not going to raise our kids in Portland, we need to move to Astoria, what did she think? But she already knew about
Astoria. She already knew about Astoria, okay. Yeah. All right. So, you know, best place to raise your children.
So I want to make sure we have enough time. Talk about your love affair, or maybe love-hate relationship, I'm not sure, love affair with Pier 39.
Oh, okay.
History.
And how did that start?
Yeah, well, Jake used to say, Holcomb, you're a Uniontown kid in Upper Town. How did that happen, you know? My aunt worked for Bumblebee and CRPA, and, you know, want to do some great history. We can talk about that. But she worked at the Hanthorn Canyon for 30 years, if not maybe more than that, 40 years. And so I have this problem of trying to recreate or bring back history in our lives, you know. That's why I bought the Salvage Chief. You know, her husband worked on the Salvage Chief. So, you know, we try to keep it in the family type of thing, right? And getting Pier 39 or the Hanthorn Cannery built in 1875, where the industry started. You know, when we go in front of the, you know, the politicians in Salem, I remind them that the reason why you have marble salmon and on your walls is because of that cannery. And so, yeah, it's been a great project, 23 years. Can you believe that? Where did the time go? So it's done great.
Went into restoring it.
Well, you know, what happened was I got called back to active duty after we bought the place and right after we closed the deal. And then so that's, you know, you were here by your active order to active duty papers that come in the mail. And so it was gone for about a year and came back, and that's when it all started.
And what was the state of the building when you started saving
Gosh, when we first got it, it was just like they walked off the pier. You know, all the canyon equipment was there. I mean, you could put it back into operation. When I came back, it wasn't like that. You know, unfortunately, windows were broke and the copper was stolen. And, you know, we had to put the power and the water back on. And so it was, you know, looking back, would I do it today? I don't know. But, you know, I mean, you call it PTSD. I had to have something to do. But, no, I'm really glad we did it. It's worked out very well.
Yeah. And I think for people that aren't aware of that history, they go out there and they're just like, wow, what a thriving structure or place of business.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to tell you the whole history. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for John McGowan and Alan Sellers, the last, you know, CEOs of Bumblebee, I couldn't tell you the story. I mean, they walked out when I was back and sat me down and told me a story that you couldn't go to Harvard to learn. I mean, the beginning of an industry like that. I mean, the passion and the, you know, how half the town grew up. I mean, you know, it's pretty cool.
It's true. I mean, it is interesting because there were so many multi-generations working in that cannery, right?
Oh,
and there's
yeah.
no job really that's like that now. Like, you don't see, you know, mom, daughter,
who
grandma.
Works, yeah, who works in the same business for 40 years?
Or at that heart of a job.
Oh, yeah.
Too, right? I mean, there's
so cold
nothing
where
easy.
Ladies come by and pour hot water on your boots, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, it was some pretty challenging work.
But now multiple businesses. Multiple.
Yeah, we have what, 23 tenants back in the building
amazing.
Now that help pay for the restoration. I mean, that's what it all is about. You know, right. We've got great tenants. And
who was the first tenant? What was the first?
Marianne Merck.
Business?
Well, actually, it was Marianne Merck, who was a lawyer, iFocus, you know, businesses that we know in town.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, counselors, you know, it was. We moved our engineering office there, so it was, and then Coffee Girl, you know, you've got to have coffee if you're going to be working.
A staple, such a staple, right? I mean, now it just sort of like ties Astoria together, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what Jake used to say, we're bookends before he created the Canary Pier. And I said, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
That's a great, remind me of that story with Jake, because, you know, he's gone. But when Oregon Travel came to town, we did a little skit, and it at first they were looking at us like we were. I got to tell you the story sometime. Remind me to do that. It's a great story.
Part two.
Well, there's so many things we could talk about. We've got about a minute left, so sure. I want to give you time to plug anything you want to, Salvage Chief or scouting or anything.
Oh my
you're
gosh! Well, we're recreating the Pacific Shores District for the Boy Scouts. We've doubled adult volunteers now. Where you've got the famous historic Sea Scout ship 635 back and running. Scott Silverman's doing a great job on that. So we've got great volunteers, and we're still at it. We're building community like we've done for the last, as we move back home.
I love it. Floyd Holcomb, thank you for being here.
That was so fun.
We got another 30 seconds.
So
give a plug for the Salvage Chief, because may not know what that is.
Salvage Chief, most historic vessel, LSM 380, was the World War II landing ship medium, converted by a guy named Fred Devine, a Portlander who was a hard hat diver, dropped out of high school, created this great idea of a salvage ship, and pulled 500 ships off the ocean, and then eventually the Exxon Valdez. So, I mean, that's a storied vessel.
Wow.
Very much so.
Now used to train young Green Berets. And so.
How interesting.
So you've got a million stories. We are going to have to bring you back. But if you've not met Floyd, you should, because he is as Astoria as they come.
So I appreciate it.
Thank you for everything you do. And go make some history. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for an adventure in history. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.